I've been with him Monday night, been with him Tuesday night. He drove all the way back with us today from New Orleans. And you just never tire of these kind of people's company. Amen. We was with Brother and Sister Ewan and Brother and Sister Spears. That's a rest within itself to be with people that, well, what do you say? Make no demands on you except that you won't. You just be yourself. Amen. Before we left the room today, I said, if it won't be too religious, which they knew it wouldn't be, I said, let's all have a good old-fashioned prayer meeting together. Well, the sweetest spirits entered that room. Amen. All six of us joined together in prayer. And I know Brother Spears loves me, and I know I love him. And I wanted him to come tonight and minister to you. And we'll be here this weekend. And then right away, I want Brother Spears to come back. And he's going to be preaching a whole week for us, either Thursday through Sunday or Wednesday through Sunday, right away and right back out at the school. And I want the students to touch this man's spirit, and especially these young men that aspire to be an evangelist and in the work of God. And we don't need no introduction, but it's just good to have him. He's part of the family. He's part of this First Pentecostal Church family. I feel like he belongs here. Amen. He's just a part of this Pentecostal family. Amen. And PBI family. You can't tell. He might be teaching here one of these days. Brother Spears, God bless you.
Thank you, Brother Kraft, and praise the Lord, everybody. There is such a beautiful warmth in this service tonight.
I love you, Jesus.
I believe that God's getting His church ready for the greatest thing that ever happened in this world. The last few weeks of time, every service I have stepped into, I have recognized the same easy, flowing, beautiful spirit. But through it all, there's a divine excitement that's beyond anything that can be spoken or uttered or acted. And that kind of spirit is in this building tonight. Hallelujah. Let's love the Lord again, would you? Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, hallelujah. Glory, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, amen. Please remain standing for just another moment or two before we go to the Word of the Lord. It is good to be in Jackson again tonight. I know the hour is late, but I can't promise you how long I'm going to preach tonight. Of course, many of you know that this church, along with a lot of other churches, were kind enough to my wife and I to pay me to take some time off. And this is only the fourth time I've been in a pulpit to preach in over a month. And I don't know when I'll get through tonight.
Amen.
Now, you folks around Jackson know I can preach an hour every night. So if I haven't preached before times in a month or better, there's no telling how long we're going to be in church here tonight.
All right. Amen.
Glory, but I like what I feel here tonight. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want God to speak to us tonight. And I'm trying to wait till that right moment to read my text. I want the Holy Ghost to confirm this. First time I heard Brother Wolf and Sister Wolf and the choir sing this song tonight, Brother Kraft had told me something about it. Maybe after I got through preaching that night at General Conference, I didn't know he had written a song along those lines. At the time I preached that message, God spoke it to my heart at 5 o'clock before I was to preach that night.
That's right. Yeah.
Before 10,000 or better people.
Yeah.
At 6 o'clock, the phone rang. A little old lady standing down here on the second pew, and you know who I'm talking about, picked up the phone and dialed the hotel. She did not know where I was staying. Nobody but me and God at that particular time knew what I was going to preach. Nobody. Not even my wife. She dialed the hotel, did not know where we were staying, and it's kind of a comical thing. Brother and Sister Ewan and my wife and I had been able to get in headquarters hotel only for 2 days. That was before the conference started. We were supposed to have checked out the day conference started. So in order to keep them from throwing us out of the hotel, we wouldn't answer the telephone practically the whole time we were there in general conference. And we got to stay the whole 8 or 9 days in the same place. Now, I said all that to say this. Usually we didn't answer the phone because we're afraid it was the front desk saying, we've got this room already rented to somebody else. Would you kindly go to another place? So Brother Ewan and them went, but I felt impressed to answer the phone. And so I did. And it was Sister Frazier. And she said, thus saith the Lord.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
Brother Wolf, I hope that message, I hope you didn't write all that song before I preached the message, because I hope somewhere in my sermon you got at least one or two words to go in that song. I'm saying all this to say this. The other night I passed through a place, and a lady came to me after service, and I had preached my heart out that night. We had had a great move of God. She came to me and said, Brother Spears, I've always wanted to hear you preach, and I've longed for the day to hear you preach. I've heard about you, and I'm not saying this for my benefit. I'm saying this because she said it. And she said, I've wanted to hear you preach, and said, oh, you preached tonight. This was great. It was just fantastic. It was, oh, this was great. She said, but I heard you at General Conference. You've been a preacher as many years as I am. I knew exactly what she's fixing to say next.
Yeah.
She said, now this was great tonight.
Yeah.
But she said, for years I'd been waiting to hear you preach, and we went to General Conference, and now this was great tonight, she said. Said, but there you just didn't seem to... She kind of did her hands like she didn't have to. I knew what she was saying. You flopped. Well, anyway, amen. Whether I did or whether I didn't, God said, preach it.
That's right.
Because He spoke to somebody a long way off, told him, called me and tell me to preach it. And so I did. And nobody else got a kick out of it. I did. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's love Him one more time, would you please? Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. If you have your Bibles, turn with me tonight to the book of Mark, the 4th chapter. And it is rather strange, but a portion of what I intended to preach tonight has already been quoted from this pulpit. And seeing that after I read my text, you will, if your mind will quickly run through the service up to this point, you will feel, I believe, the trend and the spirit of what God has given me to preach tonight. Mark, the 4th chapter and the 35th verse. And the same day when evening was come, He saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him, even as He was in the ship. And there were also with Him other little ships. And this is what I want to preach about. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And He was in the hindered part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake Him and said unto Him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And He said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And this is another part I want to preach about. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey Him? I want to preach about a storm tonight. that will come to everybody sometime in your Christian life. But I want to preach about a God that rides in the midst of every storm. But I also want to preach that if He has His way somewhere in the midst of the storm, you're going to see Him different than you have ever seen Him before. Would you bow your head, Brother Kraft? Would you pray? Oh, Jesus.
Thank you for the word of the Lord. Thank you for this message, God. Thank you for these people. Bless now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. I did not bring a Bible tonight. Needless to say, I didn't bring a sermon. And I had to borrow a Bible, borrow a handkerchief, and we'll stop there. And borrow some spray net. Everything but a toothbrush. But I'm just here a misfit tonight, really. So I hope this sermon is not a misfit. But I want to talk tonight, and you can name this sermon anything you want to. You're not going to remember it by the title anyway. You're going to remember it whether anything happens in your heart or not. The story that I've read to you is very beautiful. And let me say before I go into the message, it is so good to have Brother Hal here in the service tonight. God bless this great man of God and the tremendous work. And I'll tell you one thing, if that fellow that's leaving that great church is the same fellow that talked to me a few months ago when I preached a youth camp in their district, and he told me with shaking, trembling voice and all that his heart's cry was to go to Boston. If that man goes, I'll say in 5 years, Boston will have a church running between 500 and 1,000. That's how much confidence I have in that man. Brother Hal, I hope he goes. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. I want to talk about the storm for a moment. The Bible declared that Jesus took His disciples into the ship and that He told them that we're going to go to the other side. It was declared before they ever launched out that the ship would reach the other side safely. God never embarks on a journey that He does not declare the end results before He ever starts. He has never just happened to be involved in anything or something just involved further and further along. I believe that when God does something, it is a much of a planned event. And when Jesus went into the ship, and just before He went to sleep, I'm telling it like I see it right now. You may see it a different way. And as He got into the ship with these disciples, and they started sailing across the sea, we are talking about disciples that had seen Him stop a funeral procession and reach into the coffin and speak to a young man and say, "Arise," and watch him get up. We're talking about disciples that had watched Him walk to a lame man and said, "Arise up and walk," and he walked.
Right.
I'm talking about men who followed Jesus that knew what it was to watch Him turn water into wine. Open blind eyes that men may see. But they needed to see Jesus in a light they had never seen Him in before. The only way they were going to see Him, there had to come a storm to their life. Everything they had seen, Brother Dan, had been a storm in somebody else's life. But there had to be a storm in their life. And Jesus went down to the ship and decided to go to sleep. But I believe that this God that we're talking about, before He went to sleep, He called the elements to His command.
And he ordained that there arise a storm on the Sea of Galilee like had never been before. A storm that would take the wind and rush it across that lake and pound into one little ship out of the midst of a raging sea. And God commanded, it's going to go to the other side, but do everything you can to destroy it and take it down. Let the sea come in the ship. Let the ship toss and turn. They have got to see me different than they have ever seen me before. And so it was, a storm arose. The ship was tossed to and fro. It came into the ship. And it was at this time that they no doubt bailed the water out as long as possible. It was at this time they decided to go and arouse Jesus and to see what he could do. And as he came out, he calmed the sea. Now, as far as I'm concerned, they had seen more greater miracles than the wind ceasing to blow and the sun shining again and the sea coming back down. They had seen greater miracles than that. But there was something in it all they needed to see about he who would stand on the bow of the ship and say, peace, be still. And then they said, what manner of man is this that even the sea, the winds, and the waves obey? Some time ago, I do not mean to bring this up every time that I come to your church, because I don't like to ride just a hobby horse to death. But you never know sorrow until you go through sorrow. There is no way to comfort anyone until you have walked a lonely path. Some year, for the last 5 years, almost 6 years now, my wife and I have walked a very lonely path. It has been a path of much suffering. It has been a path of much despair. It has been a path at times we've wrung our hands and said, why, God, why? And all we could get back from the Master was, after a while, down the road, somewhere, when it comes my time, when I choose in my prerogative to do it, I'll calm the storm. But you need to see me like you've never seen me before. And if it takes the storm, then send the storm. But I need to see the Messiah like I've never seen him before. Hallelujah. A little over 1 year ago, my wife was stricken again with this dreaded thing. I will never forget the night when I started praying somewhere around the hour of 10 o'clock. I remember that I was still praying at around 3 o'clock that morning. I had prayed. I'd laid on the floor. I'd prayed through. I'd anointed with oil two or three times. I'd laid on hand. I'd begged God. She didn't get any better. It was worse and worse and worse and worse until death almost came. Then we went to the hospital. We called Brother Kraft, other preachers. Brother Bourne called, prayed for on the phone. No, get better. Nothing seemed to happen. Men called and said, we have prayed and shut ourselves in the office for days, fasting and praying as to why. And all we can say is, it's not sin, but somewhere there is something, no doubt, for a reason. Then a little lady that I've already mentioned here tonight, Sister Frazier, will never forget when she passed through Beaumont on the way to visit her brother in Houston and walked into a room. And my wife was there alone. But these were some of the words that she spoke. Now, you may not see what I'm at in this message so far, but just hold on. She spoke the words that the Lord hath declared, that through this I'm going to give your husband more faith than he has ever had in his life. Through this, he will see greater moves of the Spirit than he has ever seen before. Now hold on. That's not the way that you and I think. That's not the way we were taught to believe. We were taught to believe that you only got faith when you saw something instantly happen and you saw the crutches throw down, that was the only way faith came. But I want you to know, sometime in the midst of the storm, it's the storm that brings the faith out of the individual. Hallelujah. Amen. I wrestled with the fact, oh God, why? It seemed that it's not right. But I want you to know, since that 1 year of time when those messages came to us, I, in my ministry, have seen the crutches thrown down. I've seen them pull the patches off of the eyes that were so cross they couldn't see without patches. I've watched them as they took their hands from deaf ears and said, I hear. I've watched them when they said, the tumor, watch it, it's gone. I don't know how he did it. I don't understand how he can take sorrow and give you happiness out of it, but he can do it. As he alone can do it. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place tonight. Glory. He, because he is God, you get this. If you don't get anything else I preach about tonight, you get this one thing. He, because he is God, can deliver you before the storm gets to you. He can deliver you in the midst of the storm. He can even let you perish in the storm. He will move according to what is to his benefit and to his glory, that his name may be exalted and lifted up under the highest heaven, that he may be recognized as King of kings and Lord of lords in our lives. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I may not be preaching to any of you tonight. I'm preaching to people. If you hadn't had a storm, you're going to have one after a while. Say amen. You're going to have a storm. You say, Brother Spears, I don't want a storm to come. What's going to happen if a storm comes my way? That's up to you. He doesn't have to be a panic button that you push when everything goes wrong and abracadabra, hocus pocus, and he comes running to your rescue in 30 seconds of time. Our trouble is that a lot of times when the storm of life comes our way, the first thing we do is pray. And we earnestly seek that he will still the storm. And many times we have prevailed in prayer until he has stopped the storm. But we've never seen the master. But the storm is to produce the beauty of a Christ like we've never seen before. There's some of you sitting in this building tonight will declare unto me, Brother Spears, the reason I'm still living for God tonight, it was the storm that brought out of me and out of him what I would not have gotten anywhere else. But I'm still filled tonight because he is the master of the storm. Hallelujah. And I see him. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. 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 It may be 2 or 3 days. It may be 2 or 3 months before this message gets to some of you. But it will come after a while. Because the storm's going to come in your life. The ship of your life is going to be tossed and turned. And it's going to rage. But somewhere out of it all, if you can hold on, the master will come walking out after a while. I cannot tell you when it's going to be. I can't tell you what the answer's going to be. But I do know this. He said the ship is going safely to the other side. And that's all that matters, is the other side. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Many times when despair comes our way, we never see it as a storm that the master has allowed to come our way. We see it as something that's going to interrupt our little program and our little stand of life. But there was a boy one day who was raised in Jerusalem. He was raised around the temple. He no doubt loved it. He loved the beauty of it. He knew its history. He could tell you all the prophets of old. He could tell you everything there was to tell about the Mosaic Law. But God sent an invading army into Jerusalem. They tore the temple up. They tore the streets apart. They killed the priests. They killed the girls. They destroyed the women. And the Son of David, by prophecy, many years before, had written in the 137th Psalm, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, and yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hung our hearts on the willows. We couldn't sing. We couldn't shout. But there was one boy who starts his book off this way. His name is called Ezekiel. He said, in the 30th year, in the 5th month, and on the 13th day, I was among the captives by the river of Chebar, and I looked up and I saw the heavens open and I saw visions of God." Hallelujah. Oh, yes, sir. Glory. Some of you don't even see what I'm preaching about here tonight. Glory. Here he was. It took him all the way from Jerusalem unto a pagan country for him to see the Messiah. Oh, hallelujah. Out of quaint, beautiful, ritualistic worship of the Mosaic Law, it took him to a river in a far country with his feet dangling beside to refresh them from being blisters. Stripes on his back. Everybody else said, "We can't sing, we can't shout, we can't praise God." Don't ask me how that God can take you from where he took Ezekiel and make what he made out of him. But he is one of the few prophets that ever saw the 20th century and the close of the Gentile dispensation. But somehow the storm brought out of him that he said, "I saw him, I 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 saw him." Hallelujah. And while some never see him, it's because you're looking at the despair of what you're going through. Amen. I'm going to digress my sermon here for a moment. Glory. There's some people, they never see the beauty of who he is, for all they see is the river. All they see is the sorrow and the despair and the anguish. But there was a boy sitting next to men who were in despair, who were in defeat. But he said, "I sat next to them, and instead of seeing defeat, I saw victory. I saw the heavens open, and I saw visions of God." I don't know who's going through a storm in this building tonight. I don't know what your sea is bringing to you. All I can tell you is he don't have to do it until he gets ready to do it. But you're going to see the Messiah like you've never seen him before. Just hold on. Hold on. Hallelujah. 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 Glory. Oh, yes. The main objective in the Word of God is not you, it's Him. Come on, get that. It's not you, it's Him. Brother Steve, you're not the main character in the Bible. He is. But He has called you, and every saint of God. And He said, "What I want you to do is I want to get glory out of you." But sometimes the only way I can bring the good out of you is to subject you to the storm. You've got to know who I am. You've got to see me not only able to do it for somebody over yonder, but you've got to see that I'm able to do it in your situation, whatever it is that I am able. Hallelujah. That
kingdom. When I become ruler, then I take you to lift me up and to glorify my name. And that's what it's all about. Hallelujah. Pardon me, I used to never run out of breath preaching. When you hadn't preached in 4 times in over a month, you run out of breath real quick. So just hold on. I want you to know that He must be exalted first. Glory. Brother Kenny, before you ever get a blessing, He's supposed to get one from you first. Hallelujah. Come on, don't sit there and look at me that way, Jackson. Amen. Hallelujah. But you see, what we want is we want Him to hurry up, Lord. Send it my way. But He said, I may take you and send you down through the valley of despair. I may send you into deep loneliness. I may lead you into shadows of darkness. But He said, I'm going to do it that my name be glorified, that I be lifted up, that I be exalted. And that's the only reason I'm going to do it. Thank you, Brother Kenny. Hallelujah. Amen. The Psalm of David said, the Lord, He is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. There's times I didn't want to, but He makes me lie down in green pastures. He restored my soul. What does He do it for? For His name's sake. For His name's sake. He leadeth me in the valley of the shadow of death. But why is He going to do it? For His name's sake, that men may see Him through me, and they may say, He rules, He lives, He is God, He is King, He is Lord, He is everything. Glory. Hallelujah. Three Hebrew boys walked up before the king. And the king said, boys, it's time y'all kneel down. And they said, not so. He said, you mean you're not going to bow down? No. Well, what's the trouble here? Is your God going to... They said, we don't know what He's going to do. We don't know, King. He can deliver us out of there if He wants to. But He may not get glory out of that, delivering us out of it. He may let us perish in it. Oh, I wish the Holy Ghost would drive this home in your heart tonight. But they said, whichever way it goes, we're not going to have a prayer meeting to decide. We're not going to call a 3-day fast to decide. It's up to Him. He can stop it before we get to the fire. He can get us out when we get in the fire. Or He can let us die when we get in the midst of fire. It doesn't make us any difference. It's only He be magnified as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I can carry you to the Fox Book of Martyrs, and I can show you some that the same God sat on the same throne and watched Christians take their families and take them to a stake, and there they burned to death, and the same God sitting on the throne. Was He unjust? No. Was He unfair? No. You see, to us, now, do not say this because your pastor has been sick. Now, I'm not even referring to that. But you see, to us, death is a monster. That is defeat. But that's because we look at it through the eyes of human reasoning. But God said, the ultimate victory is death.
Victory over death.
Paul said, for me to live is just Christ. But for me to die is the gain of all the gains of this world. It's my highest tribute of praise to Him. Hallelujah. And I don't know whether He's going to deliver us before we get to the stake, from the den of lions, from the mouth of lions, or let us perish in it. All we know is when it's said and done, He will be praised, His name will be glorified, He will be lifted up, and they may never know our name, but they're going to know here that He is Jesus Christ, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Anybody ever gone through a trial? Not as many as I thought. Amen. No wonder some of you are looking at me so blank. I'm trying to preach tonight. You've never walked through a valley. You've never been in deep despair. But hold on, honey. You'll get there after a while. You'll make it after a while. Oh, there's going to be some lonely roads to walk. Oh, Brother Spears, don't tell me that. I want to backslide right now. Ha ha. If you walk that road, you're going to get to see the Savior in a light that you've never seen Him before. Somebody around you is going to see the Messiah like they never would have seen Him if something had not happened to you. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Here's a part we don't want to ever admit. Before there can be a divine healing, there's got to be somebody get sick. Sometimes He allows it to come that He may get glory down the road a little ways. And that old king woke up and finally walked to the fiery furnace, and he said, hey, there's four in there. There's four in there. Where did the fourth one come from? The fourth one came from the fervent desire of the three. They said, He can take us out of it. We can perish in it. But here we go. We're going into the flame. If that be His desire, here goes. Here goes. Let's praise the Lord. Let's praise Him. With me and God and everybody around you, Brother Spears, I'm going through a storm. Raise your hand up. May not be over two or three. I see why God sent me to preach this sermon here tonight. But I've come to tell you, it's His prerogative when to calm the storm down. I can't tell you to come up here and for me to lay hands on you. It's going to calm the storm down. I don't want to beat you out of the glorious revelation of going all the way through the storm until you see the Messiah and the Redeemer and all of His glory. Stay with it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory. Sometimes Brother Wolf tonight was talking about the fact of having a made up mind. And I thought, man, you're just confirming that much more what I want to preach tonight. That one with a made up mind is going to stay with it until the revelation of His glory comes, or until something happens. There's some that have forsaken the ship in the midst of the storm, and they've never seen the beauty of who He really is. And there's some, as soon as the storm comes your way, you fast and pray until God takes that storm away, and you still never see the beauty of who He really is. But I'm preaching to people tonight who are in the storm of their life. Some of you, the ship of your life is rising and falling. It feels as though all the waves are coming into the ship. But hold on. Hallelujah. You'll never perish and be lost in a storm that He ordains if you'll stay on board, because He has said in the beginning, we will go to yonder shore. We will go to yonder shore. Hallelujah.
When you've ridden the storm out as long as some of you have, you can afford to wait just a little while longer for the answer. Hallelujah. Would you just reach over to your neighbor and say, God's able, whatever your situation is. Don't say it in a gesture. You may be saying it to a soul that's desperately struggling for an answer. You may be saying it to somebody whose ship is about to go under, it seems. Oh, God's in this place tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Glory. I believe our God is able. 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 Come on, say it with me. I believe our God is able. I believe our God is able. Say it again. I believe our God is able. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, He's not through yet. I know it's 10 o'clock and it's time to go. But the Master is rising up in the storm in somebody's life here tonight. Oh, let Him go ahead. Hallelujah. Let Him go ahead and calm the sea. Make the wind quit blowing. Let the sun shine again. Let it happen. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Glory. Go ahead, young person. Let it happen tonight. Go ahead. Let it happen. You need to see the Messiah like you've never seen Him in all of your life. And it's only out of your despair you're going to see Him. Only in your anguish you're going to see Him. Only in your despair will you ever know Him. Oh, hallelujah. Let's all love the Lord a moment. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, what a spirit in this building tonight. Don't easily cast it aside, saints of God. Don't push it aside, church, in a hurry to go home tonight. The Master has arisen out of the ship. The Master has arisen out of the ship. And the storm of somebody's life, they can find out the answer tonight if we just hold on a little while longer. Oh, glory to His name. Hallelujah. Maybe you've been praying for God to take the burden away. But I'm sure any of you men that have been in the woods very much will agree with me. There are times you can walk through the forest and you can find a stump, and it looks like a good solid stump, but you can kick that stump and the whole thing will fall apart. Do you know what's happened? Somebody passed by one day and took its burden from it. That which seemed like it was impossible to bear, as it pushed that mighty pine higher and higher into the sky. But when that was cut off, the stump began to die. It had nothing else to live for. Paul said, God send some affliction my way, or allowed it to happen. He said, I sought God three times for God to take it away. And finally, these are the words God told me. I have left it in your body that Satan may buff you when he gets ready to. For you see, Paul, if I take the burden away, you may die. But I've got to leave the burden in order for you to live. And from the writings of a man 4'11" tall, humpback, almost blind, beaten, robbed, despair, hung to a ship in a raging storm. The Master didn't calm the storm for the Apostle Paul. He let the ship fall apart. But he said, I'm going to send some storms your way, Paul. But these storms are going to bring the best out of you. And some of the greatest writings the world has ever known were written not in the beautiful sunlight of an apostolic service. They were written in the lonely despair of a prison cell, as a man was a prisoner, with his God saying, I've allowed to leave some things in your life that whenever the devil wants to buff you, he can go ahead. But Paul, this is going to make you, boy. Paul said, God, would you take away the burden? And God said, if I take away the burden, you'll die. And I'm going to tell some of you tonight, and it's a hard statement, what I'm saying. The burden some of you have been bearing living for God will never be lifted. It's not God's will. Why? It's that makes your spiritual roots dig deeper and deeper into the rock of ages and get strength to live by. If God delivers you from it, you'll die in 6 months' time, spiritually speaking. You can't last without it. Oh, I'm not on my sermon right now. But if I've ever felt the Holy Ghost, I feel it right now in this building. I'm talking to some of you. Listen to me tonight. Listen to me tonight. But it'll be worth it when we get on the other side of the craft. It'll be worth every heartache. It'll be worth all the loneliness, despair. It'll be worth whatever trial. It'll be worth all the temptation. It'll be worth everything just to hear Him say, "Well done. Well done. Come on in. Come on in. Come on in." You say, "Brother Spears, I can't make it." Now look at Sister Ann sitting way back there in the back tonight. Sister Ann, He's able. But if He never sees fit to give you back your perfect health like you had it some time ago, just remember, He could calm the storm anytime He wants to. But He's got enough confidence and trust in you to know, "I can lay a storm in her life and let her sail it until heaven's doors open wide. And she'll sail on and she'll carry on and make it safe to the other side." Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah! I like what one writer said. He said, "We've come to the General Assembly and the Church of the Firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the Judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect." Oh, I'm not trying to get in a theological debate with anybody. I'm just going to throw out a possibility. Well, I don't care if it's time to quit preaching. I haven't preached in a long time. I'm not going to preach in a long time again. Hallelujah. Amen. What if, besides angels and beside the eternal God of heaven tonight, we are visited by the spirit world of just men made perfect? You ever been sitting in service or praying in a prayer room and you felt something whisper in your ear and it would say, "He's able"? That wasn't God. Had it been God, He would have said, "I am able." It wasn't an angel, because an angel doesn't understand failure, trials, or despair, nothing. Could it be? It was the Spirit of just men made perfect, who were human beings just like you and I are, but who have walked a lonely path and shared a lonely sorrow, made it. Ooh, hallelujah. My Lord, thank You for Your Bible, Brother Kraft. Hallelujah. Thank You for Your handkerchief. Oh, but somebody is going to walk out of this building tonight, and in 2 or 3 days from now, you're going to see the Savior like you've never seen Him before. And when you do, you're going to look back and say, "I don't understand how You've done it, God. I don't understand how out of a storm there can be victory, but there can. Sister Freeman, I don't understand how He can take, the blackness of sorrow and despair and put victory and joy and happiness in your soul. I don't understand, but He can." You say, "How do you know, preacher?" You're looking at an example standing before you tonight. I don't know how God can allow me to see my companion suffer until death stands there and we fight it off, and God not heal, and then send somebody by and say, "But through it all, You'll see Me in a light that You've never seen Me before." And when you see Him in the storm, it's going to be more than the marketplace. It's going to be more beautiful when you see Him in the storm. than when you watched him perform all the other miracles. When he comes and conquers the storm in your life, it will be more glorious than any service. I'm just saying, this is what happened to me. That in the service, when you've shouted and run and talked in tongues and joy, because you see him in a way in the storm. That's the only way you could ever see him in that manner. What's God trying to show you about himself tonight? And lady, what God's trying to show you tonight? Would you allow the Holy Ghost just to operate here for a while? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, hallelujah. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Hallelujah. Glory. I've ever felt the presence of God trying to answer some questions, trying to solve some problems. All I can tell you, Brother Kraft, all I can tell you, First Pentecostal Church, is when the storm has subsided in the life of your pastor, he'll have seen the Master in a way that he's never seen him in preaching to the masses or seeing all the miracles he's seen happen in a lifetime. But not only that, to some of you in your sorrow and in your storm, you're going to see him afresh and anew. Just go ahead and talk to him a moment, sitting right where you are. Hallelujah. I know this is not applying to everybody. I know that. But the Holy Ghost won't let me quit it yet. Just hold on just another moment or so. Oh, hallelujah. 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 If it takes going through what you're going through to see the Savior, that somebody else around you may see Him as the God of all the world, bear up to it. Take it like a man. Take it like a woman. Take it like a young person. You see, all you're here in this world for is to glorify Him. Can you play that part? John said, He must increase, but I must decrease. It was a hard part to play. And when God got through with him, he went to a prison cell and died without even Jesus Christ going to visit him in prison. But that's the part that he played. But the Bible says there was never a greater prophet to arise than John the Baptist. Hallelujah. Oh, I see God talking to some of you strong. And I don't want to bother anything God's doing yet. Let's just everybody pray right where we are for a few moments. Hallelujah. No, some of you are not going through a storm because of sin. You're not going through a storm because He doesn't love you. You're not going through a storm because He plans on forsaking you. Oh no. You're just going through a storm that you may see Him better and more beautiful
than you've ever seen Him in all of your life. And when the storm is over, and after you've seen the Savior, you're going to say, thank you for the storm. Thank you for the storm. Aren't you glad the Apostle Paul suffered what he suffered? Can't you in your heart say, I'm glad he went through all he went through? Why? If it hadn't have been, he wouldn't have been able to present to me books like he gave me on how to live and how to make heaven. But he did it. Would you give something of your heart and life that somebody else may be won to this glorious truth? Oh, God. Just go ahead and empty your heart out. Go ahead. Open the valve, sir. Let the tears stream down your face. They've been bottled up too long inside. Let them go. Let them go. Let them go. Let them go. Hallelujah. Let's just take our hands and love Him in closing tonight. Hallelujah. Everybody. That's it. That's it. That's it. Get them on up there. I surrender, God. I surrender to the will of the storm. Whatever your will is. Come on, keep them up there. Don't quit the storm now. You may not have seen the Master yet. Oh, hallelujah. Stand and keep your hands lifted. Just stand up. Hallelujah. Oh. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, the church continues to love God. There may be some here tonight that would want to get to know this lovely God. Oh, could they see Him in your life tonight? Could they see Him in the midst of the storm of your life? How sweet He is. If you're here without the Holy Ghost, why don't you quickly step out from where you are and come seek the Lord tonight while the rest of the church is praying and sing, Sister Wolf.
He's able. Yes.
There's somebody near you without God. Invite them to come pray and come with them.
Jesus knows just what to do. He's able. Yes, He is. He's able. He's able.
If you're here without God, why don't you come on tonight?